The title of this morning's message is The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. 1 Samuel chapter 1 in your Bibles, please. This morning I'd like to strengthen the mothers, because we're living in a world where motherhood is demeaned, destroyed, and trampled upon. It began with feminism a few centuries ago, when women were conditioned to believe that their role in the home was inconsequential, that the only way that they could find true value was in the workplace. That was a couple of centuries ago that began. Then a number of decades ago, motherhood was further undermined by those who asserted that there is no essential difference between the gender of a woman and the gender of a man, such that women can do whatever men can do and men can do whatever women can do. To that, science disagrees. To that, the Bible disagrees, and it undermines motherhood. This week, a severely misguided government has attempted to remove one of the two references to motherhood in our constitution, and they failed, and all God's people said,
Amen.
And we're very excited about that. Because contrary to the widespread disinformation, and I do really mean disinformation, the change in the constitution does not support the home. All it does is further undermine the genuine role of motherhood. Thank the Lord that the people of this land can clearly see through it. Dear brethren, the women of our country are up against it. But one thing I've noticed is this. When the back of a courageous woman is against the wall, when her motherhood is under great threat, either by government policy or by societal conditioning, or even due to some other factor or factors, that same woman of courage will rise up and do something about it. Our text of scripture this morning centers around Hannah. And friends, she was really up against it. Just like ours today, the society she lived in had serious problems. But in her case, none of them directly affected her motherhood. Instead, her motherhood was under great threat by virtue of the fact that she was completely unable to have children. That was a problem for her. A very big problem for her, because she was barren. And being a woman of great courage, there was no way she was going to take it lying down. She was going to do something about it. She was not going to let any obstacle stand in the way of her being a woman in Israel, a mother in Israel. And she was determined to do something about it. And she wasn't just determined to do something about her personal problem. She was determined to do something about her societal problem. She did not want to be part of the problem. She wanted to be part of the solution in her land. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9 to 18. We're going to go to the Lord. And we're going to see this morning that the hand that rocks the cradle really does rule the world. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 9. It says here, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, and will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine maid for a daughter of Belial. Don't call me a child of the devil, she's saying. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. This is probably one of the most favorite parts of Scripture for ladies, and I hope you really enjoy the blessing of seeing how Hannah made a difference in her generation. Hopefully we have something for the men this morning, but this is the blessing for the women. I'm here to bless you ladies in the name of the Lord this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that we can delve into it. I pray it'll be something for the men this morning. Hope we can be challenged by looking at the courage and faith of Hannah. But bless our ladies this morning. Speak to them deeply. Help them realize if Hannah can rise up as a woman and as a mother in Israel, so can they. Please, would you bless your word mightily and let your people know from Scripture how to make a difference in Jesus' precious name. Amen. First thing I want to share to you, number one, Hannah turned her pain into petition. She turned her pain into petition. Look at verse 10. Sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, backwards. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. Swore. The Bible tells us that Hannah was bitter. That means that she was angry. She was discontent. She was heavy in heart. She was discontent because she had no children. Look at verse 2. The end of verse 2 says, but Hannah had no children. She was heavy because the Lord had shut up her womb. Look at verse 5. But the Lord, the end of verse 5, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I want to tell you something. When people are blessed of God, they don't always give him credit. But when people have problems in their life, they always know it goes back to the Lord, doesn't it? And in reality, the Lord did shut up her womb. And we're going to deal with this as we go along, because there's some great stuff in here this morning. Verse 6 also tells us she was angry because her rival taunted her. Look at verse 6. And her adversary, her rival, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Anger and bitterness brings its own set of troubles if it's not dealt with. A renowned 18th century doctor, this doctor was also a royal doctor. He was the doctor to the king at the time. He was a surgeon, a royal surgeon, and he suffered from angina. Now, angina is an issue that affects your breathing, and discovering his attacks were brought on by anger, he lamented this. This is what he said. My life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion. Now, by the way, is it too loud in here? It seems loud. All good? Okay. So let me repeat this. He said, my life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion. And what he was basically saying was, if anyone gets me angry, I could die. His words were prophetic. He was in a meeting, in a board meeting, and some of the board members said some things that upset him. He got so angry, he left the room, he keeled over, and he died. Brethren, anger is dangerous. And Hannah could not afford to continue with the way things were. She had to do something about this anger and this bitterness that she was dealing with. Like David, she brought her complaint before the Lord. Psalm 102, verse 1. The title of the psalm is inspired of God. It says, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poured out his complaint before the Lord. And David said this, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Psalm 102, verse 1. Psalm 142, verse 2 says this, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. There's no better place to go when you're in trouble. There's no better way to bring your to deal with your circumstances than to bring them before the Lord God Almighty. We have a God in heaven who cares for every burden you carry. We have a God in heaven who cares about every burden you share. We have a God in heaven who loves you and is concerned for everything you're going through in your life. Amen. And brethren, prayer is sometimes the only way to avoid bitterness. There are people, and they will get soaked up with bitterness. They absorb bitterness, and bitterness comes out of them. Men can get bitter. Women can get bitter, and they deal with their circumstances in the wrong way. They don't deal with it with prayer. They deal with it after the flesh, and the flesh will chew you up and spit you out. Hannah was not one of those people. Prayer is sometimes the only way to avoid bitterness. When we feel overwhelmed, and there is no end in sight to our struggles, the emotional stress can so lead us into bitterness. And David expressed this in his Psalms. Psalm 77, verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you ever complain? Yeah, we do. If you're going to complain, you might as well complain to the Lord. Bring your complaints to the Lord. What a privilege we have to bring our prayers and our requests before the Lord.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. We need to sing that song again. Psalm 61 verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Aren't you glad that there's a rock that's higher than you? Aren't you glad that there's a strength that is stronger than you? Aren't you glad that there's someone you can turn to when your life feels like it's falling apart? There's someone who's on your side, because if God before us, who can be against us? We know that. There's nothing like the comfort we receive from Christ when we pray. We love these verses. I know you know the verses, but we'll say them anyway. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, it'll guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that you have a keeper of your soul? Aren't you glad you've got a keeper of your heart? There is someone who loves you, who cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all of our tribulation. I want to tell you something. Hannah figured that out pretty quickly. Hannah realized there was someone who loved her. Someone she could turn to. She had ache. She had heartache. She had anguish. And she found out very quickly she could bring it before Jehovah. Because Jehovah Jireh. Amen? Aren't you glad that the Lord knows exactly how we feel? He knows what we're going through. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly before his throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We all need peace. We also all need grace, don't we? We need God's help. That's why Hannah prayed. She did so from the depths of her soul. She prayed with heartache and tears. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She prayed with so much passion, Eli thought she was drunk. Verse 12. Came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli marked her mouth, and Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunk. I tell you one thing, Eli had never seen a woman pray like that before. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's a prayer that's going to be heard by God, isn't it? Hannah turned her pain into petition, but also she turned her void into a vow. Look at verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The Bible tells us that Hannah was in affliction. That's what she says. Look on the affliction of thine handmaid. What does affliction mean? Affliction means she was in depression. You know, our heaviness can be so weighty that we can go into depression. There are some people who are given to depression. They struggle with it. I don't struggle with depression. And God help those who do, because it's a tough one, isn't it? Some people really do struggle with depression. But I know what it's like to be depressed. To feel the heaviness, to feel that dark cloud over you, that weight, and it just won't go away. Hannah was there, folks. She was carrying a weight on her shoulders that she couldn't carry. There was a dark cloud following her everywhere she went. The sun might have been bright on the outside, but the heaviness and the darkness was on the inside. You with me here this morning? She was struggling. She was in affliction. Affliction means depression, it means misery. Brethren, she was a troubled soul. She was a troubled soul. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 and 16. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things that say not it is enough: the grave and the barren womb. the earth that is not filled with water, and your fire that saith not, it is enough. The barren womb, brethren, can bring people to depression. It's hard. God has graciously encoded into the DNA of every woman that desire to have children. Brethren, it's not cultural, it's natural. As natural as a flurry of snow on a cold winter's morning. As natural as soft wind on a warm spring day. And when that natural desire got a hold of Hannah, there was nothing on earth that was going to satisfy her void. Neither substance nor riches could fill her void. Verse 5 tells us, but unto Hannah, he, that's Elkanah, her husband, gave her a worthy portion. And you know what? It meant nothing to her. She was barren. Her husband could not buy her. He could have bought her the costliest pearls and jewelry. He could have purchased her the newest, fanciest vehicle. He could have fit out her home like a show house, but none of it mattered. She was barren. Her womb was shut up. Neither could the adoration of a loving husband fill her void. Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Now, you could say, what a foolish man to say that. But I'm looking at it from his perspective. Ladies, can you work with me for a little bit? He's like, I'll do anything for you. Because men are fixers. They want to... They're having a great crack. Don't worry about them upstairs. I'll just shut the door. They'll come back with bumps and bruises. But they'll have had a great time.
Amen.
But listen, I want to tell you something. I want to put in a plug for men here, if it's okay, right?
Amen.
Men, when they see you cry, they want to fix you. They want to make it all better. Now, you may have a gaping wound that needs stitches, but the men are going to pull out those band-aids and those plasters. They're going to try and fix up those plasters so it looks good on the outside, because they want to make sure you're okay. Don't get upset with them if they stick plasters on your gaping wound. Just realize they're trying to help you. You with me here? Can I hear an amen from the men here? Okay? So we're just giving you a plug from the men. You know where we're coming from. We love you. Men will do anything, and there's nothing more crushing for a man than not being able to fix his wife. It's hard. He'll do anything. I think Elkanah was one of those men. He had two wives to deal with, but I won't deal with that. I'll leave that one. But she had an adoring husband. He would have done anything for her, but he couldn't have filled her void. He could have treated her like a queen. He could have been willing to do anything, but none of it mattered. Her womb was shut up, and Elkanah couldn't fix it. He couldn't fix it. Hannah was in affliction. Brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning, there are voids in our life that only God can fill. Rather than making her bed in the depths of despair, Hannah decided to do something about her heartache and pain. Thus, do you know what she did? She made an appointment with the one who made her womb. Don't you like that? She made an appointment with the one who made her womb. Hannah was in affliction, but Hannah was now ready to do business with God. Don't you think that God brings us sometimes to the deepest of trials to bring us to a place of faith? That's exactly what he did with Job. I was talking to a man who had read the Bible. He was an unbeliever. He mocked the Bible. And he mocked the Bible. And he mocked God for what he did with Job. And I didn't have an answer at the time. And anyway, the conversation was going in 100 different ways. I don't even know if I could have answered it. But I've just finished a book of Job. I think it was yesterday. There were things that God and Job did in Job's life that he could only have done with Job going through that trial. And there are things, we look on the outward appearance. We look at our social and we look at our social economic conditions. We look at our physical blessings. We look at our financial blessings. We look at our health. And we measure our relationship with God based on those things. Wrong gauge. Man looks upon the outer appearance. God looks upon the heart. God wants to do a really deep work in Job. Would you agree with that? And brethren, I'm here this morning to tell you ladies, you dear precious ladies, God wanted to do a deep work in Hannah. And the only way God could do this deep work in Hannah was to remove something from her she desperately wanted. If everything had worked out in Hannah's life textbook style, she would probably have lived a mundane life just like everybody else was. She might have been faithful to the house of God. She might have sought to raise her children to love and seek God. But there are times God wants more from us than that. One of the greatest female missionaries of recent times is Amy Carmichael. She was born in Belfast in 1867. She applied to China in that mission as a missionary, but she was refused based on ill health. A year later, she went to Japan as a missionary with another mission agency. She stayed there for 2 years. She returned back to England based on ill health. Later in the year, or maybe the year later, she then took the boat to India, never to leave. Over the next several decades, I think about four decades, about 40 years, something like 40 years, she spent all her time rescuing thousands of precious children from the wicked laws that were going on of slavery over in India. She led countless men, women, and children to Jesus Christ. But listen to me, you may not have known this. She spent the last 20 years of her life bedridden. Outwardly, you may say, but that doesn't seem fair. But you don't know what God was doing in Amy Carmichael's life. God was doing something deep. In reality, brethren, trials, desperation, affliction brings us to another level. Our status quo has to be broken up so that God can get what he wants out of us. Let me say that one more time in case it was missed. Our status quo has to be broken up so that God can get what he wants out of us. Desperation led Hannah to a vow. Now listen to this. This is really interesting. Think about this for a second. If God would give Hannah what she needed, then she would give God what he needed. What did God need? Judges chapter 21:25 tells us the times of the age. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. The book of Judges leads straight into 1 Samuel. This was what it was like. Chaos, anarchy, godlessness, Ireland. You with me here? There was a complete lack of male leadership. And the country was descending into complete anarchy. While everybody was pointing the finger at somebody else, no one was willing to take ownership of the dire situation. Not enough of God's precious people were seeking his face for change. The prayer meetings were empty. There was not a man in sight willing to stand up and make a difference. While Hannah needed a child, God needed a man. Desperation led Hannah to a vow that the Lord was waiting for her to make. Hannah turned her pain into petition. She turned her void into a vow. But thirdly, Hannah turned her burden into belief. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She would not have poured out her heart like that before the Lord with such passion if she wasn't sure that God was going to do something about it. Let me say that again in case it was missed. She would not have poured out her heart in passion like that before the Lord if she wasn't sure that God was going to do something about it. Prayer is not just chanting rehearsed words. Prayer is speaking to the Lord. Prayer is not going through a shopping list. It's going through your life with Him. Prayer is not getting something off your chest. Prayer is getting somewhere with God. Prayer is communing with God, heart to heart. Prayer is asking with the purpose of receiving. Prayer is coming to God with confidence. Not just that He's listening, but He's willing, actually willing to do something about what you're praying about. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When Eli gave her hope, Hannah took it straight from God. Look at verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I love this. Eli said, "Go in peace." And do you know what she did? She went in peace. As the high priest, he was blessed of God with the anointing power of God to be able to proclaim things. And he blessed her with an answer. She took it. In the Old Testament, that was about as close to God as she could get. Are you with me here this morning? She couldn't get closer to God than getting right up to the high priest. She couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies. She could enter into the tabernacle, but she couldn't go into the very presence of God. Only Eli could have done that. And she spoke to God. She prayed to God, and the answer came through God's high priest. She put her confidence in the man of God, speaking on behalf of God, and the proof of her belief was that she turned her fasting into feasting. "My fasting is done, folks. God has answered." Like Hagar, she said, "Thou seest me." Like Abraham in Genesis 22, she called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That takes faith. That takes courage. That takes a woman who is willing to take God at His word and make a generational difference. A difference in her generation. Hannah turned her pain into petition. She turned her void into a vow. She turned her burden into belief. But finally, she turned her son into a sacrifice. She turned her son into a sacrifice. Look at verse 24. "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, 'O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord.' And he worshipped the Lord there." The Bible says in verse 24, when she'd weaned him. The weaning process means that the woman was taking care of the child in an intimate way, if I could just put it that way, for the first 3 years of his life. So she had 3 years with Samuel. And brethren, I want to tell you something. She treasured those 3 years. She called him Samuel. Samuel means asked of God. And she had vowed a vow to the Lord, and there was no way she was going back from that vow. People can make promises to God and they only half mean it, and when they get what they want, they turn away from God. I've heard people make promises like, "Oh Lord, if you do this, I'll do this for you. Lord, if you give me this course, then I'll do this for you. Lord, if you give me this job, I'll do this for you. Lord, if you give me this promotion, I'll do this for you." And people are only half-hearted. They don't mean it. They get what they want, then they're off. And they forget about God. I've had so many people come to me and pray for me for things, and I wish I hadn't prayed for them. They got their promotion, and then they're off. Hannah wasn't like that, brethren. When Hannah made a vow to God, she meant it. When And she prayed that prayer. She was giving that boy to God, and she wasn't going to hold on to him. As she rocked his cradle, as she prayed over him, as she instructed him in obedience, as she taught him the ways of the Lord, no doubt she dreamed of him being a great man of God who would one day change his nation. Then she placed her son on the altar of sacrifice. You say, how'd she do that? She brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young, verse 24 tells us. To sacrifice means to suffer loss, to give up something that is valuable. A sacrifice is something that is precious to you, and you do it for the sake of others. It's surrendering a possession that you'd rather keep for yourself. Why? Because you're doing it to a deity, and that deity is the Lord himself, God, the Lord God of heaven. Brethren, Hannah gave up her rights to her child. She gave up her rights to guiding his daily decisions. She gave up her rights to choosing his education. She gave up her rights to directing his career path. She gave Samuel completely to the Lord, and listen to me, brethren, then she let go. She put her hands behind her back and she said, I will not hold on to him anymore. He is now the Lord's. Hannah had one ambition for her son. And her ambition was that he would be the greatest servant of the Lord that he could be. That was it. She had no other goal. But that her son would live the rest of his life in the service of the Lord. She raised him with that purpose. She raised him with that vision. Judging by his life and the way his sons lived, Eli was not the one that raised Samuel. I think it was Hannah. Eli was not the main influence. Hannah was the main influence. And through Hannah's motherhood, Samuel would become one of the greatest, if not the greatest prophet Israel ever had. Because the one who rocked the cradle would rule the world. Brethren, that's why Mother's Day, I want to glory in the mothers, particularly the mothers who do everything in their power so that they could direct our children to live godly lives. I honor you. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I encourage you. Ladies, I want to tell you something. You're not finished yet. You're not done. While you still have breath, you can have significant impact in the lives of your children. You can still, in your deeply loving way, encourage your precious children to wholly give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can earnestly pray for your children that they may be salt and light in this generation. You can pray that your children can make an eternal difference in those around them. You can pray that today. And you can direct your children that way through complete gentleness. Ladies, since you have no greater purpose in life, let your motherhood shine in 2024. Our vote yesterday, or Friday, should I really say, that was counted yesterday, was a vote for motherhood. Whether people realize or not, that's what it was, a vote for motherhood. And today we are celebrating motherhood. And I'm encouraging you to be the mothers of Ireland that God wants you to be. Because I still believe that the hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world. You can make an eternal difference by being the mother God wants you to be. So my challenge is this, just to do that. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to ask God to bless you and use you in a wonderful way. Can we do that? I'm going to ask if any husbands are here to stand with me. Any husbands, just stand up with me and I'm going to pray. You don't have to pray. I'm just going to ask all the husbands who are here to stand up. And I'm going to pray over all the wives and all the mothers. So all any husbands are here just to stand. And just quietly, silently pray with me as I pray over the women. Let's pray, the wives.